Welcome to KAFM's Noontime Public Affairs Radio Program. My name is Rick Castellini. Autumn Cochran is on his way in here. Our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1, and we are the Noontime Public Affairs Technology Geeks, and we're going to be talking about everything technology today. Our official subject of the day is going to be education and the web, so we're going to talk about a lot of websites and resources available for educating all of us, not just the youth, but even ourselves, because you can never get too much education, in my opinion. So I'm going to play just a little bit more music while we're getting things set up, and you can also Twitter us your questions. You can tweet us your questions at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital. Either one of those will get to us here in the studio, and we'll answer all questions first. Our topic is always second. You come first. We'll be right back.
There we go. Welcome to the KAFM Public Affairs weekly radio show. We do all about technology every third Wednesday of... No, that's not right. Third Wednesday. That is right. Third Wednesday of the month from noon to one. We talk all about technology. I'm Adam Cochran. With me is Rick Castellini. And we just talk about technology, answer your questions as technology relates to you. We pick a new topic every month, and we stick to that topic a little bit, but your questions always also take priority. So if you have a question...
If you listen to us, we don't stick on topic very well.
No, we wander. I was being kind of sarcastic when I said that. We wander off topic quite a bit. But if you do have questions, feel free to call the show and ask about technology in your life.
241-8801, extension 1. If you're out of the area, 970-241-8801, extension 1. Did you get in? Adam's working hard.
I don't get what's going on.
You can also tweet us. Excuse me. You can tweet us. My Twitter is at HelpMeRick. Adam's is at Talking Digital. And we can take questions that way as well. And we'd love to hear from you on either forum, either the telephone or either form of communication, either the phone or over the Twitter. We can do either one. And I've got the Twitter open right now.
Is this one of those things where I must have been hitting the wrong key the whole time or
we
something?
We have Annie Payne who's listening to us on through. Good. She's on the web. I don't know if she's on the web or on the radio. But she tweeted me, and she said that she's having polka overload. That's why I gave you a little bit of Latin there, Annie.
Yeah.
Liven things up right
polka
before we got
overload.
On. All right, so we decided to pick a topic today called education. Here in the Grand Junction, Colorado area, the public schools were open for business today. Adam, Professor Adam over there, soon to be Professor Adam.
Yeah.
What do you call yourself now?
I'm an adjunct professor. Everybody calls me professor, but I'm a fake professor.
But
actually.
He's still not. I want him to wear a turtleneck and a.
I'll wear a black turtleneck, maybe.
The black turtleneck and the little.
Ascot or scarf or something.
Both.
Yeah, both.
Oh, both.
Good idea.
Do them both.
Good idea. And then, a beret.
There you go. Do all three.
Great.
That'd
good
be great.
Idea.
In the winter comes, you'll look good.
Maybe I'll do that.
But you started school on Monday at Mesa State.
Yeah, I started teaching at Mesa on Monday.
And I keep thinking that, man, if I was a student today, and if I knew what I know now when I was a student and had the same resources, I think it'd be very cool.
I'm getting ready to go back for my master's, and I've been preparing for my GED. Or not GED. I have my GED.
I have
a high school diploma and a sound like I died out there. And I have a bachelor's, so I'm okay there. My GRE, let me say that right, getting ready to prepare for my GRE, and it is incredible how many resources there are for just that. I don't know why you'd need to. You okay?
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know why anybody would need to. I've bought them, but I don't know why they need to buy those manuals. Because
those big, thick
books and everything. Because really, you go onto the internet, there's one that I'm training right now for the math section of the GRE.
Mm-hmm.
And it walks you through step by step by step. And really helps out a lot.
It's, and gives it's you lots of test questions and things like that, right?
Yeah.
You can do all that. So we're going to talk about all of that kind of stuff. And it sounds like Annie Payne has fired up the web, and she's listening to us at kfmradio.org. Cool. So that's very cool. And if you have any questions, feel free to pass them on via Twitter. And I know there's a few other people besides Annie listening. And you can either tweet us at HelpMeRick or at Talking Digital. Or you can call us, 970-241-8801, extension 1. So today, again, education and the web. Mm-hmm. And I've come up with a series of websites, and Adam and I are going to compare and contrast what we have, and we're going to put together a little article and put on our website so that you can have access to these sites later, because we usually go through them pretty fast. And the first thing I'd like to start out with is flashcards. Flashcards are as old as education.
And they're effective.
And that's why I think they've hung around a long time. But flashcards have evolved with the web in two different ways. One, you can have access to them anywhere if you have a computer.
Right.
But two, you don't have to reinvent the wheel sometimes. There's a couple of great websites out there where if you're studying math, as you are now, or chemistry, or state capitals if you're a younger student, or maybe even your times tables if you're still a younger student.
Right.
There are people out there that have created sets of flashcards for use on the web, and it makes it a little more interactive, a little more fun to be able to study, because it's almost like you're not studying. It's kind of like you're playing a game. And a couple of the sites that I've found that are really, really good for creating your own flashcards or finding flashcards are sparknotes.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Sparknotes also is a site where I think, isn't that where you can get summaries of
they make
literature?
They make their own little Cliff's Notes books that you can get too.
And so they have that as well. And then the other one that is really, really good is called flashcardexchange.com. And so those are two great flashcard websites for people of all ages. Even if you're an adult trying to learn maybe some Spanish, trying to learn some another foreign language, or maybe you are, as Adam is, going back to school and you need to bone up on a couple of different subjects that you've either forgotten or haven't really studied for a long time, you can create flashcards and then have access to them from any web-enabled computer. So it's a really, really neat thing. The flashcard exchange, you can search for chemistry, you can search for physics, you can search for web programming or computer programming. If you're going back to school for computer programming and you want to learn HTML tags or you need to learn Visual Basic, whatever they learn, then you can look up those flashcards and do it.
Very cool.
So it's a very, very cool thing. So that's flashcardexchange.com and then sparknotes.com. Now, Adam is and his family are starting to do a bit of homeschooling.
Yep.
What kind of websites are you guys using on homeschools?
There is. You know what the thing is with homeschooling? There are, in any kind of education stuff for teachers, period, whether you're homeschooling or not, the resources are so vast out there that it just takes a Google search. One of the things I've done is added the stumble upon bar in Firefox. If you go into Firefox and have that little stumble upon bar, you can type homeschool math, homeschool history, or just teacher education or flashcards, anything, and then hit that stumble button
and
it takes you to random websites. And I think that's just as effective, if not more so, than finding relevant sites than doing a Google search is, because the stumble upon stuff is usually put there because people have found it interesting and have thought it worthy to post up there.
Right.
And so I don't know the sites off the top of my head. I know that
so there's none that you concentrate on yet.
There's curriculums that we're using right now. The Math UC curriculum is the one that we're using for math. It uses a lot of manipulatives and kind of teaches a lot of math tricks and things like that. And it's a good one. It costs a little bit of money for the textbooks and the video, but the website still has resources available. Pick any homeschool curriculum, and there's an internet site that's related to it. So.
Annie says she's using the web and she's learned her geological timetables.
Oh, good. Yeah, I know.
Good job, Annie.
It is important to know that that we are the GMT minus 700. That's always I just think you have to know what your GMT time is.
And if you don't, sometimes it gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
Either on your phone or other places. All right. Well, a site that you're talking that one site that's been around for a long time and has been. They call it the educator's best friend, and it's mainly for teachers and instructors, and again, in your case, families that are teaching their children, and it's called education-world.com. And education-world.com, it's been around probably at least 10 years. It's an extremely rich website with lots of great information for any subject you're looking for, and you can look up curriculums, you can look up exercises to do with your kids. You can do web kind of, what do they call them when you go out and you search for things? What's the word I'm looking for? Treasure hunt.
Scavenger hunt.
Yeah, do a web scavenger hunt on a subject. They give you all kinds of things like that, and it works out really, really nicely. So it's a great place to start, education-world.com, and that's a site that I've kind of referred to back and forth over the years. And another new site, a newer site, I should say, that is very intriguing is called Global Schools. GlobalSchoolSingular.net. And GlobalSchool.net is a collaborative type website where you get your students involved with other students in other parts of the world and you collaboratively work on a project. So it's kind of a neat thing because you're sharing information, you're learning about other cultures, you're engaging your children in a more interactive way to study different types of subjects, and it's got a neat premise that they're doing, and that's at globalschool.net. They say their mission is to support 21st century learning. We engage teachers, students in a meaningful project learning through learning exchanges with people around the world to develop literacy and communication skills, foster teamwork and collaboration, encourage workforce preparedness, and create multicultural understanding. So it's kind of, you know, that's their mission statement, so it's going to be a little wordy, but it's got a great, great, great website to go watch and take a look at. And even if you don't have kids, I still think it's kind of interesting to go to some of these sites
because
you pick up some things about what is going on in education today. And education goes far, far beyond the brick walls that our kids sit in.
Right.
So it's kind of neat.
Absolutely.
How about college? You know, you're starting college, teaching college. This is your second year, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, second. Yeah.
Second kind of semi.
First full year, let's
there
say that. Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of sites or what kind of advice do the kids get today when they're on campus about using the web?
You know what? I was trying to figure that out. I just taught my first class on Monday. I'm going back today teaching in the second class, and I was surprised. I should show you. I will show you the vocabulary list that I put together.
I saw it.
I put that vocabulary list together, and I was baffled. Not that they're not being taught, but that I think they're in a generation where they've been taught by people who are afraid of the internet,
mm-hmm.
and so they're not realizing. They realize Wikipedia is out there,
right?
You know, that's out there.
That was one of my articles.
But I don't think they realize the usefulness of the internet. When I was in class and I handed out this worksheet,
mm-hmm.
A vocabulary thing, and I just said, you know, in your own words, write down the basic definition of each one of these, or as many of them as you know. And only two kids pulled out their cell phones. And maybe that's because they thought they'd be cheating in class. Mm-hmm. But when I saw them do that, I didn't say anything. And so at the end of when I handed it back, I said, I noticed there are only two of you using your cell phones to look these things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I didn't tell you couldn't look them up. And
right.
They were just kind of surprised by that. But that's a resource to them. I'm not expecting them to cheat. But at the same time, I told them to write down as many definitions as they could. And
right.
Why not turn around to a computer
and start
filling them out?
What did the kids use that had their cell phones?
You know what? I didn't ask. I imagine they used Google.
You'll have to ask that today.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do a little bit more
because
of an activity
I'll be interested
today.
If they were smartphones or if they were just texting mm-hmm. Google.
It's funny. They all seem to be full keyboard telephones, but a lot of your like your Samsung Instincts and things like that, which are borderline smartphones.
Mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm.
limited, but they do the stuff that you need to.
Very cool.
So web browsing and things like that. So I think this generation, really, unless you're
there's still kind of a transition.
We're still in a transitional age where there's just learning how to use the internet as an effective tool, and I'm teaching them how to use TweetDeck. And today I'm going to go through Google tips, just mm-hmm. go through and talk about how to search Google, because until they know how to research,
right.
A lot of what I'm going to teach them isn't going to help them. It doesn't
show them Google News,
yeah,
and Google
yeah,
images,
just show them
and
all the
that
aspects
stuff.
Of
yeah.
Google that they don't know about,
right?
And that's what I'm going to spend a lot of time on today.
Dang. I'd like to go in there and monitor your
class.
It's
going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right, 1-800, or not 1-800.
I almost feel like it's not work.
But that's what's cool. That's
yeah.
why it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, 970-241-8801, extension 1 is our phone number, 970-241-8801, extension 1. If you have a website that you're using for education with you or your kids, call us up and tell us about it. Or with any question you have about technology, whether it's phones, there's been a huge, Adam, since you're kind of getting out of it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
huge, huge outbreak of personal antivirus in the Valley.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to take a little bit of a digression here from our education talk about, because it always comes down to security. And there's this fake antivirus going
yeah.
around called the personal antivirus,
PAV.
Yep. And it has gotten even more gnarly than it was before.
Oh, good.
Because if it sits on the computer a little too long, there's not been a tool that I've been able to
find.
Have
you used any of the
root
kits from Geek, what you call it?
Geeks,
Major Geeks.
Majorgeeks.com.
Yeah, Major Geeks has a lot of good root kit removal tools.
But it's
man.
If it stays on there just a little too long, it disables your browsing. It disables your searching. Even if you put a flash drive in, it won't let you read your flash drive.
Wow.
And so it's been awful. It's been a bad one. But the key is prevention, 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 prevention.
Yep.
The gentleman that got it yesterday that I went to his house, he was just looking for information on his credit score.
Right.
So I wrote an article yesterday on my website at helpmerick.com. By the way, I'm going to put all these sites up at helpmerick.com later today. But he was just searching for credit scores.
Right.
So what happens...
It's a dangerous thing to search for.
I'm sure that's what you're going to teach
yeah.
today. When you search for things like free screensavers,
yeah.
free games, credit scores, low mortgage rates... You know, things that are kind of real buzzwords or people know. And the tough thing is sometimes people search for these things not knowing that it is a key word that the bad guys
right.
are gonna pummel all of these search results
yep.
with sites that aren't really legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a few buzzwords you just want to avoid. Free is one of the
free
biggest buzzwords
one.
That you want to avoid. Don't type free antivirus. When you hear us talk about free antiviruses, don't type free antivirus.
Bad.
Don't even search for the antivirus you're looking for. Go to the exact website that we refer you to, because so many companies, like AVG is a great example. AVG antivirus, you can find at AVG.com, and that's great.
Right.
But there's probably an AVG antivirus.com that's a fake antivirus where people are downloading that.
You mentioned CombiFix a few minutes ago.
Yeah, CombiFix is a huge one.
Well, CombiFix already has four or five websites.
CombiFix.com,
yeah.
Combos-Fix.com.
Yeah, and they're not legitimate.
No.
But they'll pretend they are.
Right.
And then they'll get their their gnarly little fingernails into your computer, and it's hard to get them out.
There's even a warning when you install the real combo fix that says, did you get this program from
these
one
two
of these
sites? Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. So be careful out there. That's number one. You got to be careful, because if you're not sure exactly what you're clicking on or what site you landed on, sometimes even landing on the site, if you're using an older browser, is going to cause a problem.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to even download or click on anything. And the problem begins is when you agree to install one of these things, it basically tells the rest of the computer, hey, this person agreed to let me on their computer, and it kind of shoves your protection software into the background.
No matter what protection you have.
So be very careful out there. So I hate to get off on that tangent, but that's something that's near and dear to my heart, but I want people to stay safe.
Well, it's near and dear to my heart because I don't do it as much as you do anymore, but as much as I made money from removing viruses, there's nothing I dreaded more than people calling me, telling me they had a virus. It's just my least favorite thing to work on a computer, but it's the thing I worked on the most, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's not. I told somebody one day, it was analogous to probably what a plumber thinks about going in and rotoring a toilet or something.
That's right. It's exactly the same,
you
I know, think.
He'd like, much rather,
you
I'm sure.
probably love it when we plug up our toilets. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
All right, back to education and the web. I'm going to check my Twitter real quick, Adam. You might want to check
yours.
Sure,
I'll do that. Well, I've got a, the other thing, too, nothing's come through for me on Twitter yet. But okay.
Jen is Jen Killowell from the Moxie right. Maven is going to be saying she's going to be listening to us here pretty quick.
Cool.
Thank you, Moxie.
The another one that just started, this is a brand new, as far as I know, it's a brand new website. They sent out the press release and all of that around August 13th, so it's only been around for a week or so. Mm-hmm. There's a new social network being put together. Social networks are like Facebook or MySpace or something like that.
Twitter.
Social network that's being put together by teachers to be able to create, organize, and share curriculum.
Very cool.
The name of the website's Better Lesson, so betterlesson.com.
Just Better Lesson, singular.
Better Lesson. Yep.
Okay.
Better Lesson. So that's a good little, I haven't tried it yet, but I saw the story on or heard the story on one of the CNET podcasts.
Now, is it one you have to sign up for?
Right now you do sign up. Yeah, you have to sign up for all of them, but I don't think it has a pay side yet, or at least they're not pushing the pay side. They're mostly doing it for free right now.
But you do have to have an account to interact, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just like any social network, you need to create a username and a password.
That's true. That's a good point. All right, well, you mentioned Wikipedia, and that's got to be at the top of anyone's list. You're going to hear some educators kind of scoff at Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Bottom line is their kids are using it.
It's controversial, but I think it's the place to start. I really
think so,
do.
Too.
I think if you want to research anything, if you're just copying what Wikipedia says, you're plagiarizing anyway. But read Wikipedia like you would anything else. It's a great place to get an outline. One of the things I'm talking about today in one of their vocabulary words, and I'm spending some time on it, is are the Stephen Colbert publicity stunts.
Right.
So we're going to go through some of those. We may not get through very many today, but we're going to cover some of that and just talk. But one of those was when he had his Wikipedia army go out there and change Wikipedia entries to manipulate those. So,
but he did it for specific.
Oh yeah,
for specific
exactly.
articles.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the thing that with Wikipedia, you have to educate your kids and in yourself as you're looking at various articles. The best thing to do is always go into it with a discerning mind. Does what I what I'm reading sound legitimate? Is it written fairly well where I can trust that it sounds like an educated person put information in here? But then most importantly, all Wikipedia articles are very, very well indexed and footnoted. Mm-hmm. And look at the bottom and look at the footnotes and go to some of the sites where the information was gleaned from, and then you can determine how legit that particular article was. My guess is that if you're going and looking at articles on animals, plants, scientific theories, things like that, you're going to find those are probably very accurate to mostly accurate in my mind. But if you're going and you're reading on maybe a new political figure, like maybe right now Sarah Palin would be a good one to throw out there because she's fairly new on the scene, very, very divisive type personality. So you're going to get people that are going to go on there and you're going to probably see some back and forth.
Right.
But that's where you have to use your own thoughts and processes and discern what is in there. It seems to be factual, what seems to be fiction, and use the footnotes in Wikipedia. There's even a T-shirt that I saw on one of the there's so many t-shirt sites out there now, some very cool t-shirts. But there was a t-shirt that I showed my daughter a couple weeks ago. It was a picture of a graduate throwing his hat, you know, his little graduation hat up into the air. He's wearing his gown and, you know, kicking the knees up. And then the caption says, "Thank you, Wikipedia."
Yeah.
It's an awesome t-shirt. All right. You got another one?
No, keep going.
Okay. 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801 extension 1. Or you can tweet us at Help Me Rick or Talking Digital, at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick. Another site that I've used in the past to bone my own self up on some, as the kids get in their higher math again. I was actually a pretty good math student, but you know, I hate the kids cover your ears. Good thing they're in school. You don't use a lot of that in the real world unless you're a scientist or a chemist or things like that. But there's a great website called globalscholar.com. And globalscholar.com is tutoring for all ages and all subjects. You can go in there. You can be a volunteer tutor. You can go in there and say, "I need a tutor for a certain subject." And you can get one-on-one tutoring via this website. But it's called globalscholar.com. And it's a very, very nice website. Again, it's this particular one is owned and operated by a company called Pinnacle. I'm trying to look here real quick. I was trying to figure out which one that those people were. But I think it's called Pinnacle. Well, no, Global Scholar is the name of the company. But go to it, globalscholar.com. Again, they have K-12 tutoring. They've got higher education, your college-age students, professional tutoring for people that are maybe management-type people that need education on certain types of economic issues or management issues. They can do all that here at globalscholar.com. So another good website to put into your bookmarks. Now, the next one, I'm going to skip down to one of my last ones because in case we run out of time, 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. And again, you don't have to talk about education. If you have a question, maybe you have gotten bit by that personal antivirus, call us. Maybe your kids still haven't got a new computer for going off to college and you're kind of waiting, figuring out what to get, call us up. We'll kind of give you some guidance in that direction. And we'd be glad to talk to you. Or you can question us via your tweets. And but my next one is Web 2.0 applications. Oh. You know I'm a big cloud guy. I've drank that Kool-Aid for a long time, and I love it. Web 2.0 is doing your work on the web. So you can have it available in lots of different places. Well, there's a great article by a website called Read Write Web. It's a long URL, so I'll put that in my article tonight. But it's a list of Web 2.0 applications for students. And from my own experiences here in the Valley, from my kids and some of the kids of clients that have kind of listened to some of my advice, the kids really like having the ability to do some of their work on the web. Because then if they're in a classroom and they're done early with a project, they can get on the web and do their work. If they're at home, they can get on and do their work. If they have to go to the library, maybe they don't have a computer at home, they can go to the local library, they can do their work on the computer because it's on the web. And as long as they can log into their account, they can get it done. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when you think Web 2.0 is email, because so many of us are now doing our email on the web. Instead of using something like Outlook or Outlook Express or something like that, you're doing your email in a web browser. And that is a great way to go. But the next step is doing some of your work, your spreadsheets, your word processing documents, even presentations, editing them, creating them, and sharing them online. And the two biggest purveyors of that on the web are Zoho.com, Zoho.com, and Google Documents. And Google Documents, I've subscribed on Twitter, Adam, to Google at Work is one of their things. Do you subscribe to that one?
No, I don't.
And what it does, Adam, is they constantly are talking about integrating Google Documents into businesses and into education. And I bet at least four educational institutions around the country per week are jumping on to Google Docs and Gmail.
Cool.
Yesterday or earlier this week, there was University of Wisconsin. I mean, big institutions, San Diego State University, all these big universities, not only to save money, because they can save a lot of money using Web 2.0 applications, but giving their students and their teachers more ubiquitous access to the tools that they need is a big boon. So that's a really, really big thing, I think, is learning how to use those online documents.
You know, that was one of the things, too. I had Google Docs down on that list, on that vocabulary list.
Right.
Was there maybe three, four kids knew about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty amazing. I mean, not that they should know about it.
Right.
Nobody's taught them about it. But there's so many resources out there that people aren't aware of online for learning and using every day, whether it's related to school or not.
And using something like Google Docs, there's a $150 expense that you can save for your kids. Because a lot of folks, the first thing they think the kids need is Microsoft Office. Mm-hmm. And it's a great product. I'm not going to say that it's not a good product, but you have your Word, your Excel, and your PowerPoint. Most of the time, probably 70% or more of the time, your kids are going to be using the word processor.
Right.
And when they're using the word processor, a lot of times all they're doing is writing reports. They're not doing anything.
Basic reports, paragraph, you know, prose.
Yeah, something you'd use a typewriter for.
Right.
So there's nothing extremely complicated about what they're creating. And you can do that for free with Zoho or Google Docs.
Yeah.
And they can do it from anywhere. Here's for a college-age kid, I think this is really a neat advantage because how many times you and I have both over the years have heard from college kids or their parents saying, my kid's computer went down, what should they do?
Right, right.
Their report they need tomorrow is on the computer.
Yeah.
Well, if that report was on Google Docs, they could just go to the lab.
Well, you know, as a student, too, it's very cool because a lot of the students either have their own laptop or the computer, the room that they're in have computers. Mm-hmm. There's computers in the lab. You know, everywhere you go, there's computers all over the place.
Even if you have to go to a coffee shop?
I think if you're sitting in a class, if you've got Wi-Fi, Mesa has Wi-Fi pretty much everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting in a class and you have work time or whatever. There's nothing to do there. You know, you get your work done.
Right.
But you don't have your flash drive with you, or you don't have your laptop with you that has your document on it. If it's saved on Google Docs, you just log in, make the changes you need to, and work on the document anywhere that you're at, whether it's in the library or wherever. It's just completely portable.
Yeah, and it's backed up. That's the big thing. So if your computer goes down, as Adam just mentioned, you can go to any computer, log into your account, and you have access to your documents.
Yep,
it's very easy. We have Two Bears out there listening to us on Twitter.
Oh, good.
Well, he Twittered us. He said he's listening. Glad to have Mr. Two Bears, Damien, aboard there. 241-8801, extension 1. If you have a question or, again, websites that you want to share or experiences you want to share about education, maybe you're a new graduate from high school or college or you're going to college and you've done some of these, used some of these tools or used other tools, share them with us. Call us at 241-8801. Extension 1, or you can tweet us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital.
I ran across a couple that are worthy of mention. One especially that wasn't on your list that I use quite a bit when I'm helping people, and also for myself. When you need to buy the software, you mentioned that Microsoft Office is $120 or whatever for the student and teacher edition. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you need the larger edition, or you may be in a college class where you're learning CAD, and CAD is what is CAD now?
Computer-aided drafting.
$1,500 or something
expensive.
Like that. I know Photoshop, the entire suite of Photoshop, was $1,800 if I bought the whole thing.
Right.
But if you know how to do it and you know where to go, there's educational discounts available in almost every area as you're buying technology.
Right.
For example, I was able to buy that full $1,800 version of Photoshop Suite for $400.
Very nice.
Another program.
As a educator.
Yeah. Or Final Cut is one that you had experience mm-hmm. with recently. You can get I think it's a $2,000 program, something like that.
Very expensive.
You can get it for $600 or $800, which still is expensive, but you know it's a lot
less
than
buying the
full price. Even when you're buying computers, Apple has a great resource for teachers and students,
right?
To get some great discounts on there. So the website that I think I'd start looking for those academic discounts is Academic Superstore, and that's just academicsuperstore.com.
Right.
Pretty much all the software that you'd need is available out there, and it at least helps you find the stuff at a good discount. Another website I ran across was Educators Reference Desk, and it's got a stupid URL.
Email those to me.
Yeah, you got it. It's edu.org. which to me doesn't say educator reference desk, but anyway, but it's a good little site. It has stuff for lesson plans. It has question archives. You go into your everything from counseling to the individual topics and the types of different types of education, learning online, all of those things. So there's a lot
and
of references.
On that stuff. Same vein, Ted, our computer bargain guru, who was with us for many years,
yeah.
He just mentioned to me last week at the user group that if you are a college graduate, mm-hmm. if you log in to the bookstore of your alma mater,
uh-huh.
that's another way that oftentimes you can get yeah. software discounts as an alma mater of right. that particular school.
Yeah, I don't think you have any reason to pay full price for anything when you're a student. And sometimes that means sometimes you will find a better deal at Best Buy on sale.
Right.
But not always. A lot of this stuff, I know Microsoft Office, the full package, there's ways of getting it for $60 out there if you
And that's
you
including access
go.
And publishing
including
and
everything.
Everything.
Yeah, between $60 and $100 you can get.
And
the
sometimes
full package.
Your classes may require you to have right. those things.
Yeah.
But if they don't, go the free route.
Absolutely.
Go the free route.
Absolutely.
All right, another couple of websites here. One is called, that I've used for years, and just for myself, because I'm a curious individual, is How Stuff Works.
Oh, yeah.
And HowStuffWorks.com started out as a book, How Stuff Works, mm-hmm. real thick book where you can look through great
right.
pictures, great illustrations. They were recently bought by the Discovery Channel, mm-hmm. and they've kind of redone the website a little bit. It's not quite as cutesy, I guess I would say, as the
right.
How Stuff Works, but still all the information is there. Tremendous articles on learning how just anything works,
yeah.
whether you want to see how the radio works. To me, one of the fascinating things that I learned over the years and I share with my clients is how a CD burning works.
Right.
When you
right.
burn a CD, why can't I use a ballpoint pen?
Yeah.
Why is it better to store them vertically rather than horizontally?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know how it's made, it makes
why
sense.
Why can't you record onto them twice?
Yeah.
You know, all that information. Yeah.
So it's pretty neat. If you go to HowStuffWorks.com, if you have a curious mind, it's a great place to go, but obviously it's a great place to go for students.
Mm-hmm.
So check that one out, HowStuffWorks.com. All right, our phone number, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet us at HelpMeRick or at Talking Digital. Maybe we're doing such a good job of covering the subject today, Adam, that people are just blown away and they don't
right.
want to even ask their questions. But you can ask a question about anything computer-related. If you're out of the area, use those cell phone minutes, 970-241-8801, extension 1.
Kind of along the same lines as How Stuff Works is the PBS Teachers website. It's another one where if you're a teacher or if you're a student, either way, there's just a lot of great resources out there for finding, you know, modern applications for some of these things.
Very cool.
We do have a caller on the phone finally. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam talking about technology and all that stuff today. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was listening to you talking about being careful when you're doing a Google search, and like ABG was an example. Don't
mm-hmm.
put in their free antivirus or something.
Right.
How do you come up with a website address without Googling if you don't know what it is?
Well, Googling it isn't going to get you in trouble. It's paying attention to the results when you do a Google search. So as you search for Google, if you search for AVG or if you search for free antivirus, if the name of the website that it brings up is freeantivirus.com, that's probably, that's one tip off. A lot of those things, you know, if it's not specific enough, if you see Trend Micro, then you know, well, I've heard of Trend Micro. They're a good antivirus company. Or if you see AVG.com, that's one way of tipping you off. One place that I'd recommend going to, rather than going through a Google search, though, is go through CNET's website, which is download.com.
Go to download.com?
Yep, download.com mm-hmm. will take you to all of the safe stuff.
Oh, okay. So just you go to download.com, and what does that do?
And then you can search there. There's
yep.
a search box. You can search for AVG. You can search for SpyBot, Search and Destroy.
Oh.
And any of the things we recommend, if we've ever recommended a product on the show, we always link to it at helpmerick.com.
Usually where I go.
Yeah, if you start there, you're going to be guaranteed to get to the right place.
Yeah, that's the best place. If you've heard us talk about it, that's where you want to go. If you're just doing an aimless search for free solitaire games, then
go to download.com.
Then go to download.com. Don't go to the internet and just search Google for it.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. Could I ask another question?
Oh, sure.
Is it time to download the Internet Explorer 8?
Wow, that's a tricky one.
Or should you wait?
If you're using QuickBooks or some other programs that utilize Internet Explorer as kind of a back end, no. If you're a real estate agent that needs to use Internet Explorer to access the real estate agent databases, no. If you're just a general web browser and you're just and you don't want to use Firefox or you don't want to use Google Chrome, you can give it a try.
I'm using Firefox.
Then yeah. If you're using Firefox, there's no real need to go to Internet
Explorer.
There's
no need to do it. I guess one thing that I can tell you is if you the little nag is going to come up that tells you that you need to download Internet Explorer 8.
Right.
Since you're a Firefox user, it's not going to hurt anything to go ahead and do that. But yeah, a lot of these enterprise things, these companies like real estate agents, insurance agents, and things like that that actually have to use Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer is just breaking their stuff right and left, so you just want to stay with 7 if you're using it for business. But for home use, I would go ahead and do the download just to get that nag to go away.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bet. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks for calling. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. 241-8801, extension 1. The other thing about searching, even at download.com and again at Google, not only do you have to really study what you're clicking on, mm-hmm. but you have to watch for the ads.
Right.
Because the way the Internet is free and the way download.com is free is because people will put advertisements on their websites.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the way the advertising market works on the Internet is that you can't always guarantee who's going to be advertising on your website because of the way the market works. And oftentimes, the first thing you see in a Google search or even on download.com, you're going to see things that are advertisements. But if you're very careful, they will say one of two things. It'll say, this is an advertisement, or it'll say, this is a sponsored link. If it says either one of those things, 99% of the time, you want to pass over it because it could very well, especially if you're searching for those crazy things like credit reports and screensavers and cute kitty cats that dance on my screen and things like that, is you want to avoid clicking on sponsored links and paid advertisements because those are the guys that are trying to snag you and then eventually snag your credit card and all kinds of other things. So be very careful on that. So thanks for the call. 241-8801 is the phone number. You can tweet us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital, either one.
Yep.
All right, another site I have for you, Adam, is edu20. It's edu20.org. And this is a site. It's actually a very, very nice site. And it's for teachers and homeschool parents to find curriculums on just about any kind of topic, science, literature, English, math, all those kinds of things. Very well organized, easy to print out items that are most of them are free and available for anybody to use. So check that out at edu20.org.
It's edu 2.0 is what it's supposed to be, but if you put the period in the wrong place, you had the URL right.
Okay.
But that's why they call it 20. It's actually 2.0. Edu 2.0, but that makes
you can't put two periods.
Someday we need to do a show about how to pick a good URL for your business. There's some bad, we've gone through two or three bad ones today that you just think, oh, I wish they would have had somebody pick out the name.
Well, it's hard to say them when you're talking about them. So it gets harder too, though.
Well,
because now there's so many good ones taken up.
EduRef, Educators Reference Desk. I mean,
it would have never guessed that.
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
doesn't make any sense. All right, one that I don't have down, but I think is a real important one is m-w.com. M-w is Merriam-Webster.
Yeah.
And the Merriam-Webster has two sites. They've got a pay site and they've got a free site. But it's a wonderful reference for a thesaurus, a dictionary. And they have one other thing on there. I'm not on their website.
Does it have I can't remember. Yeah, there's that. There's also dictionary.com, which is a pretty straightforward little website for looking up thesaurus. It has thesaurus and dictionary and stuff like that. Another one that we didn't talk about, Google Translate, which is a handy resource. I don't know that you can use it every day as you're in your education tools, but Google Translate will translate any website from almost any language to almost any other language. The other one that I thought of here briefly.
Oh, here's what I got.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I went to M-W. They've got the dictionary, the thesaurus. They do have a Spanish to English.
Okay.
And they've got a little medical dictionary. That was the third one I was thinking of. So if you're in the medical field and you need to look up a medical term, M-W.
Cool. Another one that's a major one that people don't realize is a great learning tool, and that's YouTube. A lot of times, absolutely. I mean, in fact, how many videos do you have up on YouTube now teaching people how to resolve day-to-day computer problems?
Over 200.
200, and they get viewed every day. So it's...
My solitaire, though. I mean, my Minesweeper is the most popular.
Is it still the most popular on how to play Minesweeper?
Yes.
Wow.
Is the most popular.
Did you have any AdSense dollars? Oh, no, you got kicked off AdSense.
I got kicked off AdSense.
Maybe I'll tie the AdSense dollars. Yeah, that's funny.
But no, YouTube, I've done that in the past couple... my dad and I, we were putting in some new light sockets in my house.
Yeah.
There was two rooms in my house that have the... turn it on one side of the room, you turn it off on the other side of the room, you know, back and forth. And that's called a three-way switch in electrical terms. I learned that. I didn't know that. So when I took the old ones off, of course, the electricity off, I knew that much.
Right, good.
I did look at all the wiring thinking I knew exactly where everything went. Well, when I hooked it up and got them all going, it turns out that I could turn it on one side and I could turn it off on the other side. But then if I turned it off on the other side of the room, you had to turn it on that side of the room.
Hmm.
Because then it wouldn't, the other side switch would just wouldn't work.
Wow.
So I had something crazy.
Yeah.
So I went to YouTube and I put how to wire, or I think I put three-way switch or something.
Yeah.
And there were probably five or six videos or more on how to do the switch, how to do the wiring.
I was trying to tune up my bicycle a little bit, getting it ready to ride. And I didn't know how to adjust my rear derailleur so that my gears would switch right. And I was reading.
That's a tough word to
spell. I was reading WikiHow, which isn't on our list, but WikiHow is where people...
Write out tutorials.
WikiHow and different bicycle sites, and they were all explaining how to do it great, and some of them were even illustrated, but I still just didn't quite get it. And so I thought, and I went typed in YouTube rear derailleur, and you know however many videos were there,
and some good ones,
people showing how to do it. Good enough that I was able to see the movement of what was going on. It was not
between
a big deal.
What you read and what you saw.
And it's pretty much what I'd guessed already, but it did help to know that I was doing the right thing as I was seeing people do it.
Yeah, because when you're messing those derailleur screws, you can really cause some problems.
You can just make it so that your gears don't shift right or your chain falls off.
You go from a 21 speed to a 10.
Yeah, or less. It's that neutral gear that you run into that is irritating.
But if you go to the YouTube web, if you go to YouTube.com, don't go to the letter U. It's Y-O-U.
Oh, yeah.
It's Y-O-U-Tube.com. The first thing you're going to see are people jumping off on their skateboards and music videos and things like that. So just like a lot of things on the internet, people generalize that that's all it is.
Right.
It's a very, very thorough resource. Cooking's a fun thing to look up on YouTube. People are teaching you how to make a souffle teach you how to do an omelet, things like that.
Like everybody else on the internet did when Michael Jackson died. My kids knew a little bit about him, but only knew him for Thriller and all of that. We spent probably an hour sitting there on YouTube going back through old Michael Jackson videos and you know, just kind of cool to catch him up on the experience a little bit.
So they knew who he was.
So they knew
why he was on every channel.
Yeah, why was he so important? They still couldn't figure that out, and maybe I can't either. But
I'm assuming you didn't show him any of the courthouse activity.
I did.
Or anything. Oh, you did?
Not the courthouse activity.
Oh,
I was thinking the jail Thriller video.
Oh,
I showed him that one. No, not
the courthouse. I was talking about
thing.
The potential real
no,
jail.
No, we didn't talk about any of that. So, no.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 970-241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital. And Twitter, I think, is becoming kind of an educational resource if you use it the right way. And Adam has always been kind of pushing me into these new technologies. I kind of hold off and watch him do it and see whether or not it's just for us old folks. And Adam says, you got to try it. So I tried this Twitter thing for a little while, and it took me a while to get on to it, but it really can become a good learning source.
Yeah.
If you're going to teach your kids at college how to use TweetDeck.
Yeah.
I think if you're not using save searches on the website or you're not doing TweetDeck, you're not going to get what you want out of Twitter.
If you're not utilizing something besides the Twitter homepage, you're not going to get very much out of it. In fact, everybody's second tweet is, I'm here, now what? Nobody knows what to do from there, so...
But that's a site that you can also look at, and if you have enough of the right kind of people that are following you and you're following them, you can ask questions and get answers there as well.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to do that. Good way to follow news sites. The GJ Sentinel in town is doing a good job of putting up articles as they put them on their web. GJ Free Press is also doing the same thing. And I get the newspaper every morning, but it's kind of fun during the day. They'll put up those articles that sometimes go out in the newspaper the following day.
Yeah. They usually I notice the Daily Sentinel will have news stories up there sometimes 9 o'clock at night, and
throughout
already,
the day.
You already know what the home, what the home page, you know what I mean, the
front
page
stories. Yeah, my wife will say something. I said, oh, I saw that yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's old news.
That's right. I already saw that. I
All right. We have just a few more minutes left. Again, I'm going to put all these sites up on our website at helpmerick.com, and I'll write the article later today and link up all the sites we've talked about today. If you have sites you would like to contribute, when you get on the go to helpmerick.com later today, you can add a comment to that article, and we'll build
do.
That build that into a good reference, kind of like what we did with the Wi-Fi.
Right.
We built a little local reference for Wi-Fi. I mapped it up a few weeks ago, so it's a Google map where you can search the map for Wi-Fi in Grand Junction. So it's kind of a cool deal. So 241-8801 extension 1. We have a couple of minutes left to squeeze in a phone call if you've got a question. Again, you can send us a tweet, and we'll do that as well. I think I've covered – I might have one more site here, Adam, that I did not see yet. Let me look. We did Education World. We did Global School. We did Flashcard Exchange. We did Global – nope, I think I hit everything on my list.
Cool.
And I talked about the Web 2.0 app for students. There's some neat things. He listed the gentleman that wrote the article. He calls it the Web 2.0 backpack, Web 2.0 applications for students. He's got the office things we talked about. He has about 8 different note-taking websites.
Cool.
Where you can take notes and share notes.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that, the Evernote and some of those, yeah.
Yeah, he has probably 8 or 9 mind mapping. I'm still not a huge mind mapper where you draw the little circles and you know, draw things out, but that a lot of people like to learn like that and organize.
Sure, I do it when I'm going to write a speech or a talk a lot of times. Not for lessons, but when I'm going to do a
speech.
You'll
bubble it out like that? Mm-hmm. That's cool. Studying websites. Now, here's a few that he's got some in here we've mentioned, but let's go through the ones that he has here. He has, of course, Wikipedia, Yahoo Answers. I don't think I'd put Yahoo Answers on there.
Oh, Yahoo Answers is
It is. It's
horrible.
They came out with what they thought was going to be good, but it's awful.
And Google tried it. And Google, if Google fails at it, then you know that it can't work. And Yahoo is.
Yeah, Yahoo Answers
is horrible. In fact, it is funny. It's so bad that it's funny.
It's become a joke.
It has.
And so it's bad.
Indeed.
Well, and then what's happened is become so bad that when you do ask a legitimate question, there's no experts there to answer.
Exactly.
Awful. CollegeCram.com. I've not seen this one. Have you seen this one?
I haven't gone to that one.
Online study guides for science, math, language, and business topics. It's college-cram.com. I've not seen that one. He also has one called tutorlinker.com. When all else fails, hire a tutor.
Ooh.
He's got the different bookmarking sites like Delicious. We've talked about that. Or you and I did off the air
right. Anyway.
Calendars, using online calendars to keep track of things that are due, when they're due, things you have, meetings you have to go to.
The online calendars is a big one. We haven't mentioned that one.
And I think, again, unfortunately, I'm a Google head, and Google Calendar is a great calendar. It's a good one to use. Calculators, there's all kinds of different calculators he has listed here. Calcool8, which does all kinds of mathematical.
Oh, I've used that one before.
Have you used that
one?
That's
a good one, yeah.
And Calcr, C-A-C-L-R, C-A-L-R.
Uh-huh. Yep.
C-A-L-C-R.
Yep.
There's an E-Truder graphing calculator
Ooh. Online.
He's got that there. He has Easy Bibliography. I think bibliography is kind of a lost art.
You know, one other thing is we're talking, I'm sorry, I don't want
to. Go ahead, no,
you.
Go.
As we're talking about education, and I really think that a smartphone, especially an iPhone, is almost a critical tool for college students today. I really think so. With as many apps that are out there, as many calculators as are out there, wow, building's coming down. It's all those different tools out there, and dictionaries and translator tools and you name it, shopping tools, things that will just, if you have an iPhone in your pocket or you know something even remotely similar, you will end up with some excellent tools out there that you'll use all the time while you're in school. And it sometimes it'll be in the classroom and sometimes it'll be at the grocery store, but you're going to run into all kinds of times where you use those tools. I love the iPhone app, and I know that it's available for Android also, that lets you point at the back a barcode on a product, take a picture, and
get information,
it uploads it, and it brings all the information, where it's the cheapest and what who makes it and all that stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of great tools out there.
Well, and they have, we talked about note-taking earlier, and and note-taking, and or not note-taking, flashcards.
Yeah.
There's great little flashcard applications for the iPhone. And so, yeah, I think I agree. I think a smartphone of some type or another is a really nice adjunct for somebody in school. Now, I as you mentioned also, some professors and teachers, though, are still scared of technology.
Yeah.
They're worried about the cheating aspect of using a smartphone or using the web, you know, in a classroom. Yeah. I think, though, in my opinion, before we wrap up here, I think that this is what it is today. When we went to school, when I went to school 20 years ago, there wasn't this instant access to information.
Yeah.
So you had to memorize it.
Yeah.
You had to memorize it.
I think
it
a lot of people say, well, you're using the internet. That's cheating. It's too easy.
But if you learn how to use the resources, that, to me, is as important as learning the knowledge.
Absolutely.
Because if it's something that they're going to use, if it's a reference material or a skill they need to have, they're going to learn it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're using the web to gain that knowledge, why not?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't have a problem. What do you think?
Oh, I think the same thing. Now, I think that there's certainly, I don't think you can make that a generality and just say that this is always the case, because there are exceptions, of course. But yes, I think that since the internet's out there and you can access the information so quickly, there's less of a reason to have that stored in your head or to write 30-page reports and do tons of those research things when you can access that information anytime you want. I think that there's definitely a reason to learn how to research and how to cite your sources, and all of those things I think are just as valid.
But as I mentioned, that I don't think that they should be used to, that if Adam's sitting next to me, he knows I know the answer, I'm not going to text him the answer.
Right.
I still think that's wrong.
Right.
Because if I found the answer on the web, I knew how to do that. Yep. I used my skill to do that. But if my gentleman sitting next to me or the girl sitting next to me doesn't know how to do that, tough luck. You got to learn how to do it on your own. You know, don't, that I think is cheating.
Yeah.
That's always been cheating. It still will be cheating, no matter how you do it. But if you learn how to gain access to the information, you're utilizing your resources.
Absolutely.
But your neighbor is not your resource in the classroom.
Right. Right. But,
all right. Well, we better wrap it up, Mr. Adam. You're going to cue us up there on, I think we're on deck three.
We're deck three.
And we've been listening to Adam Cochran and Rick Castellini here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado, the Noontime Public Affairs. We'll be back next month on the third Wednesday of the month. Stay tuned for some more great programming here on KAFM.